AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden is going for 4 more years. He officially announced his run for re-election in a video this morning.
When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said we're in a battle for the soul of America, and we still are. The question we're facing is whether in the years ahead we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer.
White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy has reaction.
Currently age 80, Joe Biden is the oldest man to serve as president, and he'd be 86 by the end of a second term. A new CBS News poll shows a majority of Democratic-leaning voters believe Mr. Biden should run again, though 45% say he shouldn't. Asked how they feel about a re-election effort, just over half of those inclined to support a Democratic ticket say they feel accepting of this one. Just 28% say they're confident. Even fewer, 22%, say they're excited.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has signed a law that bans almost all abortions in the state. They would only be permitted in the first 6 weeks of pregnancy in cases of rape, incest, and medical emergencies. Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
Even though I think that the governor of North Dakota is trying to signal that he wants the strictest abortion law in the country, this is still an issue that has to go through the courts.
7 people were arrested at Montana's state capitol for interrupting as they protested Republicans for silencing a transgender lawmaker.
Republicans are angry about comments Zephyr made a week ago during debate on a ban on gender-affirming care for minors.
If you vote yes on this bill, and yes, on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
The ban passed. Republican leaders have demanded Zephyr apologize. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
She's the state's first trans lawmaker. Oklahoma's new attorney general is making the rare move of asking the state parole board to recommend clemency for a death row inmate. AG Genter Drummond says he has serious concerns about the fairness of Richard Glossop's trial on charges of beating to death the owner of the hotel where he worked in 1997. Glossop has long maintained his innocence. One of the country's most prominent voices on the right, Tucker Carlson, will be looking for new work soon now that he's been fired from Fox. Ben Smith at Semaphore tells CBS Mornings he'll have a difficult time finding an equally effective platform.
A lot of Republicans lived in fear of what Tucker Carlson was going to say about them, and also watched his show incredibly carefully for what bill they could introduce the next day to please him. And where he goes, there's nowhere like Fox for him.
Dow futures off 75. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is asking the Army about the controlled burn of Fort McCoy that may have sparked a 3,000-acre wildfire. Military leaders say they don't know for sure yet if they're to blame. The Biden administration is siding with the Lac du Flambeau tribe in a lawsuit over road closures on its reservation. The tribe says it's owed millions of dollars for the roads that connect several homes to town. In sports, Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst is asking for patience as he puts the finishing touches on the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets.
It's not done, and I'm trained by Ted Thompson until the final, T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
The two teams are swapping first-round picks and making other conditional moves. Also, the Bucs face playoff elimination after last night's loss to Miami. The Brewers fell to Detroit. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome my next guest, Mr. Jim Schultz. He is the recording secretary of WISCOS, which is Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health. And we're also joined by my good friend, Johnny Watermelon. What's going on, Johnny?
Morning, Earl. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
All right.
Always good to have you in the studio. Well, let's talk a little bit about WISCOS. What is WISCOS?
Sure, Earl. WISCOS is a nonprofit organization, and we're basically a worker-based organization, but we'll work with businesses or anybody that's looking to make workplaces safer and healthier places to be. We started out back in the mid-70s, as we were talking a little bit ago. Until 1970, there was no OSHA, and they didn't actually open their first offices in Washington, D.C. till 71. But by 1975, there was a growing number of workers in Wisconsin that were saying, hey, where is OSHA? Why don't we have OSHA here in Wisconsin? And some legal professionals and some healthcare professionals and some enlightened small businesses got together and started advocating to get an OSHA office opened in the state of Wisconsin. And it wasn't easy. It took until 1978, practically, to get the office opened up, the first one in Milwaukee, down at the federal building at Royce there. And at that point, the folks that had been organizing to get that happen reformed and became the Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, and have been helping workers and employers make their workplaces safer and healthier places to be ever since.
You know, I always tell people, man, that I don't know where my life would be. The best years of my life were spent in a union. Yeah. And working with union people. Mm-hmm. And I remember, again, walking into a plant at 18 years old and leaving at 54. And it was one of the most dangerous places to work in. Mm-hmm. When I remember when I first walked into the place, they said, this is called a butcher shop.
Yeah.
Because when I walked in, I was all these older guys missing one, two fingers, limbs, the whole nine yards. And that was in 1972.
Yeah.
And they couldn't hear because there was nothing that said you had to have hearing protection.
Yep.
They didn't have safety glasses, didn't have safety shoes. And I was fortunate that OSHA started having an impact based because unions were able to, you know, enforce OSHA regulations on companies like the one I had. And and so when I and my group of guys retired from the company, We could still hear. We didn't lose our hearing. You know, I think I've got all my fingers still. Let me see. Oh, okay. I still got all my fingers.
You can still give the finger. Yeah.
and I still got, you know, 10 toes. And so the safety aspect of working on a job, only through the grace of me being born at the time I did. So that's why, and people who don't know about OSHA, occupational safety and health, and the importance of that, one of the things that came too late for my generation and others is you know the exposure to carcinogens, and all those things that were in the plant for all those decades, almost a century before we got there, right? The plant been around all those years, but that way of doing business is still going on in some places.
In a lot of places. Like you, I grew up in a union family. My father was a steel worker. My grandfather was a union man.
Right.
And I'm a third generation foundry rat. I worked in the same foundry my dad worked in and the same foundry that his father worked in. You know, so I've been in hazardous work conditions. I understand it. And see, when I was just real young, talking back in the early 60s, mid, late 60s, and like you say, there was no OSHA.
Right.
My father was working in a foundry in Waukesha here, and because there was no enforceable regulations, he was severely injured on the job, almost killed, when a dump truck literally backed up over him and crushed him. And I grew up my whole life as a child seeing the scars on him because he was just a working man.
Right.
And so when the doctor showed him back up, he didn't have to look pretty. So I grew up seeing these great big Frankenstein zipper scars on his arms and his legs and stuff when they pieced him back together and sent him back into work. So workplace safety has impacted my life from very early on. So I've always been interested and concerned about it, but never as much as when I almost lost my life at work, working in a foundry. And I literally played the part of a Roman candle for like 2.873 seconds.
Wow.
I was standing on a 6-foot-tall platform doing repairs on a furnace. There was nobody around me. It was on a weekend. One of my tools slid under the iron, and it was damp, so the water instantly turned to steam, which threw iron back at me. And I suffered first, second, third degree burns from my forehead to my waist, a lot of my arms and stuff. So I understand what it means. Your life can change in an instant. You can have one bad instant and change it to everything else that's ever going to happen to you.
You know, people think, you know, foundries, you know, plants like the one I worked in, that those are the only hazardous kinds of places.
No.
So you could think a grocery store, right? Mm-hmm. Like a major grocery chain.
Yep.
That deals with all of these incoming things, and you could say a Walmart. Mm-hmm. And constantly there are people who work in those high speed kind of places, and what is it called? Where they deliver all the stuff, you buy it, and Amazon, and those kind of plants and all those things.
Yep.
There's safety conditions and issues in those places, right?
Horrible. But even in offices, there are safety concerns. I worked in foundries for close to 20 years. I've worked in restaurants, hospitality, and kitchens for about 25 years. I've worked in construction and demolition. I've done landscaping. I've done building maintenance. I've had a lot of opportunities to see just how hazard the jobs are out there and that we're being faced with. And we all face hazards in our workplace. Now, some of us may have a lot of really bad hazards, and some of us may have a lot of really kind of minor hazards, but a hazard is a hazard. You can still get an infection in a paper cut that means you're going to lose a finger. You know, you don't have to lose an arm because it got chopped off by a machine. You can have stuff happen at any workplace that's going to affect you.
So people may say, well, you know, I don't have a union. I work in a place. I'm not going to make any noise because I don't want to get fired.
Right.
But I know there's some hazardous things that exist where I am. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that you don't have to have a union to get support?
I'm saying exactly that. Under the law, It's called concerted activity, and that's the law that protects unions when they do what they do to help protect workers. But anytime two or more workers get together to talk about their working conditions, they're protected by the law of concerted activity. Now, you can't spend all day jawjacking about something, right. But you do have the right to communicate with your workers about, hey, don't use that punch press because the safety button doesn't work. They've got it wired closed or, you know, whatever it might be, and let the other person know what's going on. And we have a class that we give on knowing and effectively using your workplace health and safety rights. And I can tell you, because I've done it by myself, you can do it on your own, but it is not easy.
So your safety rights, your workplace and safety rights supersede your employment.
Correct.
And from the perspective of if it's an unsafe condition,
yep.
You do have somewhere you can go.
Yep.
I mean, they can't just fire you on the spot.
Well
they can.
They can.
But you have recourse is what you're saying.
You do. If you're prepared and set up ahead of time, which is why we have our class, because if you go and tell your boss,
I ain't doing that
unsafe right. work, get some other fool
you're
to do
get
it.
You're going to get fired.
That's a work refusal, and you're out right. of there. But if you tell them, look, when you make it safe for me to do that job, I'll hop right on it.
Right.
You haven't refused anything. You've acknowledged that you will do the work they've assigned you, but the law requires them to give you safe work. So we say, you know, say that. Never start with a no. It's gone to court no matter how many times it was imminently dangerous that you're going to lose your life there, but you said no first. That's a work refusal.
Right.
But if you say it properly and if you have documentation, you have coworkers as witnesses and things like that, if they then fire you, OSHA will fight to get you your job back. They'll fight to get you any lost pay, any lost benefits that you would have accrued, like health insurance or vacation or whatever. But if you say, yeah, but if I go back, they're just going to find another excuse in a month to fire me. OSHA will go, okay, that's fine, but we're still going to fight to make you whole. So you do have the ability. It's scary to step up to that boss and say, that's unsafe, and I need you to fix that before I do it, because you may get fired.
Right.
But if you're prepared ahead of time, you can and you will win.
You know, we're going to talk about some workers who unfortunately lost their lives in, you know, you talk about in the line of duty in the military, there's a loss of life in the line of duty in employment.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in special Workers Memorial Day on the 28th when we come back from break. My guest is Mr. Jim Schultz. He's the recording secretary of WISCOS, and Johnny Watermelon, my co-worker here at 540 MWAUK. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress, But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? DesignGarden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, high of 50. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. Times of trouble, we never could have come this far. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Jim Schultz. He's the recording secretary of Wishkosh, a Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, and Johnny Watermelon, my colleague here at the station. And before we go to Johnny, there's a Workers' Memorial Day this Friday.
Yes.
428, and you've invited me to say a few words. Number one, I'm honored. Let's talk a little bit about what the Workers' Memorial Day is, what sure. It consists of.
Sure. April 28th was chosen back in the late 80s, early 90s, when started celebrating in this country. They actually started a little bit earlier in Canada than us. But it was chosen because that was the day that OSHA legally opened its doors in 1971, was April 28th. So we chose that day as a day to remember and to look back and say, okay, what do we have to do for the coming year to make sure that, if at all possible, we don't have to have this event again next year? But unfortunately, we do, because workers seem to get injured and die in the workplace one or two at a time in widespread areas, and it generally doesn't make the news. If it does, there's almost never any follow-up. And so people don't really have that on their mind. They're not conscious of the toll of workplace deaths and injuries. But on average, 9 to 14 workers die every day on the job in this country. And that's not counting the workers that get injured or that get made ill and end up with mesothelioma or some long-term disease because of the exposures in the workplace. That's just the numbers that we know about. Because the state of Wisconsin has passed laws that restrict the names that we can get for workers. So if you don't receive a death benefit on your job, like maybe you're working at a nail salon or in a farm or something like that, where your employer doesn't pay a death benefit, we're not legally able to find out that you died on the job. And no worker should have to go unknown or unnoticed when they leave us.
So you said that in the state of Wisconsin, there are legislators who refuse to give the people from the state of Wisconsin the names of people who have died from conditions of their work.
Yep.
Why would they refuse to do that? How nonsensical is that?
Well, you got to understand that they get a lot of donations from business. So right. They want to keep businesses happy. And no business wants to let a lot of people know that somebody died here.
Right.
Because they might not get many people that want to come and work there then. Or the people that are working there say, well, then we got to do something about this so that doesn't happen. And that means they got to spend some money that might have been profit in their pocket making their job safer. So we think it's very important that every worker that we can possibly find out about gets memorialized and honored at ceremonies like this, or they have them in Madison and Eau Claire and other areas around the state, that nobody should go unnoticed and forgotten.
Jim, I got to ask you a question here.
Sure.
Do you mind if I chime in? I you know, when you say that, it begs the question for me, why would an employer want to invite you into their environment, into the workplace environment? Kind of maybe give you a lead up here. Doesn't an ounce of prevention a lot more cost effective than a pound of cure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because for every serious injury, there are tens and hundreds of minor or medium injuries, whether it's a paper cut or a stubbed toe or
right.
whatever it is, that's not on the level of somebody losing their life. But right. it's still a workplace injury and it still affects you. And like right now, after all these years in the foundry I spent, I'm feeling pains in my shoulders and my knees from the vibrating right. tables that I worked by and things like that from decades ago,
right.
but they're coming back to me now. And if we protected our workers better then, they wouldn't have pains as they age. They may not have the diseases sure. that they have.
You know, guys, let's do this. We've got to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about the Workers' Memorial Day,
okay.
the significance of that, and we'll continue the conversation. I have to go to a break. Mr. Jim Schultz, Recording Secretary of WISCOS, Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, and my good friend Johnny Watermelon and colleague. We'll be right back.
Want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report, President Biden is going for it.
Let's finish this job, I know we can.
In a video released this morning, he announced he's running for re-election.
When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said we're in a battle for the soul of America, and we still are. The question we're facing is whether in the years ahead, we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer.
A lot of Democrats are shrugging their shoulders. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto has results of our new CBS News poll.
There isn't a lot of excitement about a Biden re-election bid right now. Moore said they would feel more acceptance rather than excitement about him running again.
55% of Democrats say he should run. 45% say he should not. And of those, 86% cite his age. 80. 77% say it's time for someone new. Mr. Biden's run sets up a potential rematch against former President Trump, who's also running. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, inviting you to join us every weekday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News is your online home for stories that are unabashedly Wisconsin. We cover the latest out of the state capital, of course, but we also celebrate this amazing state with stories about people and places, food, events, history, and more. You can find our work at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, or search for Up North News WI on social media and subscribe to our newsletter, too. Then, each morning, I get you caught up on the latest headlines, plenty of weather checks, a little sports, we do a daily music break and a history lesson, we have newsmakers, insiders, community leaders, and all kinds of other guests and regulars. And we take the time to break down an issue or a story and explain it in plain English. Catch Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 here on the radio, the Civic Media website, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done, so let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am joined by Mr. Jim Schultz. He is Recording Secretary of WISCOS, which is Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health, and Jenny Watermelon, my co-worker. So let's talk about, again, the Workers' Memorial Day, what's going to take place, and, you know, the importance of that.
Yeah. So in Milwaukee, we generally have two events, and we use the old labor slogan, mourn the dead, but fight like hell for the living. So we have an event that we hold at the Postal Workers Union Hall downtown Milwaukee, where we have a gathering of folks to come, and we talk about what's happened in the past year, what do we see as coming up in the following year. We often have somebody from OSHA there to come and talk to us about what they might have coming up, special emphasis or things like that. And we share a little meal. We break bread together. And then we go over to the park, Zeidler Union Square Park, was just around the corner from it.
Right.
And we have another event there where we have maybe more local folks. E. Michael McCann used to come down, or John Chisholm used to come down and talk about, you know, if it wasn't for WISCOS, E. Michael McCann has said a number of times, without us, he never even would have considered prosecuting an employer that killed a worker. But because we brought that to light, that you have that right to do that, he started looking into that kind of thing. And so we have usually someone from Gwen Moore's office there, and Tammy Baldwin, and folks like that. They come and talk about how they're fighting for workers' rights and things like that on our behalf. So we have these two events, and we do read off the list of names that we have. And sometimes, like this year, we got three or four names where we know somebody died, but we didn't get a name for it. So we can at least say, well, somebody on this day in this, you know, city or township or whatever lost their life to workplace injury, but we can't completely memorialize them because we just don't know.
You know, so for people who, you know, don't work in heavy industry like you and I did, Jim, but they work in settings and places that are dangerous to them. How do they contact you guys? What is their process? Because they're terrified, I know. Yeah. You're afraid, man. You know.
Yeah.
Even though
you
know things are not right, it's it's like, man, you know, am I going to risk losing everything that I have?
Yeah.
And they just accept it, right? I mean,
a lot of them do. Yeah. Or they quit the job and go somewhere else, and somebody else is then exposed to those unsafe conditions because that's just the way it's always been.
Right.
And they don't know what to do to change it, or they can't get their coworkers because, well, I've been here 25 years and. And it hasn't hurt me yet, and yet, like you say, they're missing two or three fingers, or they got to wear a patch over an eye or something.
Right.
And it has affected them, but they wanted to keep their job, so they just told themselves, it doesn't bother me. But they can contact us. We have a website, wiscosh.org, where we have a lot of information. We're on Facebook, so if you go to Facebook.com/wiscosh, W-I-S-C-O-S-H, they can email us at safety@wiscosh.org. We provide a lot of trainings, most of them for free or very low cost, or when we have grants to cover the training costs, absolutely free.
So nobody has to know.
Nobody has to know that you've contacted us. And we've had a lot of workers contact us, and then we contact the worker, the workplace on their behalf. And we never use anybody's name, even when they tell us, no, go ahead, tell them that I called you. No, we've received some reports that there are some unsafe conditions in your workplace having to deal with this situation or that situation, and it keeps them out of the spotlight. Now, the employer may figure, well, I think Jim's probably the one because he's been making noise here, but there may be other people that had an issue but didn't say anything, but they may have called them.
So how do the companies usually receive you guys? I mean, different from different companies?
The majority of the companies look at us as an adversary. Some of them recognize, usually it's a smaller a mom and pop store, something like that, where they actually do care more about their workers, that we're there to try and help. And sometimes all it needs to be is that we're in the room. A number of years back, we had some workers that were working with another nonprofit agency in the area that weren't getting paid for their work. Or they weren't sure because they weren't getting a regular payroll check. They were getting paid on a regular checking book check.
Right.
So they didn't know if their child support was getting taken out, if their health insurance is getting paid for. And for months, they were going around and around trying to get this dealt with. They asked us, well, could you come and sit in the next meeting with us? And all I had to do was go in the room and sit there with my notebook. And they literally asked me, who are you? Why are you here? I'm here as an observer at the request of the worker. Literally, that was a Tuesday. On that Friday, those workers had their checks in their hand. And it was a regular payroll check. Just knowing that there's somebody out there watching, keeping track, willing to help can make a lot of difference.
So, and for the listening audience, it doesn't have to be you.
Nope.
It could be a friend of yours. It could be your own child who is working under those kinds of conditions and things that this information can be really important.
Oh, yeah.
For us, not always just you yourself.
Oh, absolutely. For about about 14 years, we were at Riverside University High School because they had a career pathways program there. And the instructors there invited us to come in, and we would get the kids for 3 days every year. And so we would teach them the first year about their workplace rights and how to use them and what jobs their employer were allowed and not allowed to have them do. The second year, we'd say, okay, now you know what your rights are. how do you identify the hazards? Because that's what's going to hurt you. And the third year, we'd have them, here's some real-life situations, and talk with your fellow students. How would you folks handle that? And then we tell them, this is what happened in the real situation, how they handled it, how it turned out. So by the time they walked out of high school, they didn't have like an OSHA 10-hour or 30-hour card, but they had some understanding what their rights were. And most of them ended up telling their parents, their siblings, their coworkers at work. In fact, I went into a check cashing place, and one of the students recognized us from the classroom from a couple years before, and said, oh, it's you. And the manager turned around and, you're the guys, you're responsible, because she was telling them all the time, well, no, you can't do it like that, or no, I can't work those hours. And she wasn't mad at us because she didn't know what the right way of doing it was. And so it informed her, and it made her job better. Less injuries means that you're not spending money unnecessarily on medical bills and things like that.
You know, Jim, there are people who I never knew that I was exposed to all sorts of carcinogens in the plant. And nobody ever told us, right?
Yeah.
And I do know that there are people who died early because of the chemicals. I think where I worked, they had something like 1,000 different chemicals that they used. We had a process called coil pickling, where they took acid and mixed all the acids together in big vats.
Yep.
As they would take the big coils of steel to make steel pliable, so once you stamped the part, it wouldn't crack.
Right.
But those chemicals, you know, inhaled, you know, killed a lot of people early. And so even today, sometimes we expect our government is going to do the right thing. Right?
Yep.
And the people who, and I talk about this stuff almost every day on my show, elected officials who should be supporting the workers and the people who won't do that. They're not going to be making sure that the safety, public safety, is the number one thing. And so I keep knocking on the door of that to try to wake people up and say, we can get mad at the corporations all we want to, but somebody's made it legal for the corporations to do what they're doing to us.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, chemicals are prevalent in just about every workplace nowadays. Whether you're using them directly or someone that's working with you is using them, you may still be being exposed to them. Or it might be the cleaning crew that comes in off shift while you're not there, and there's residue when you come back and you're exposed to it and you don't know about it. There's over 100,000 chemicals in regular use in industry right now today. Every year, industry adds about 1,000 to 1,500 new chemicals out there. And people think, well, it's got to be safe if they're using it. But the reality of the fact is OSHA regulates less than 50 chemicals. They have a standard for exposure for 50 chemicals.
Wow.
Out of all of those chemicals.
That's amazing.
And stuff like, we just had a big fight a couple years back on silica and beryllium and things like that, that we've been fighting for decades to get standards to say that, no, more than this is going to make you ill. More than this is going to kill you. So it's been a long struggle, and it's a big fight because they have a lot of money on the other side saying, well, we don't want that information out there. Or we haven't done the testing on it yet, so we don't really know what the situation is.
Jim, can you help us understand the list of things that you go through that either WishGosh has got programs or inspection procedures when you get invited in or get to go into an environment that has a complaint? What are some of the things that you deal with on a regular basis? I mean, we talked a little bit about that, but there's got to be a variety of different things. Can you go through that list that you look at?
Generally, I don't get to go into the plant to do a walkthrough because I'm not a government official. They don't have to let me in there. And even government officials, they can make them go get a warrant from a court before they let them on the property. But we do a lot of training. Besides being a recording secretary, I'm the lead safety trainer at Wiscosh.
Okay.
So we train the workers to be able to identify, because they're in there every day. Right. And they, you know, when I was working in the foundry and other places, the company would tell us, oh, OSHA's coming through, so we got to paint this up, we got to clean this right. up, make everything yeah. look nice. And they shut down production just about for the day so there wouldn't be any smoke in the area and things like that.
Sure.
But the worker knows what it's like every day. So we train them on recognizing what are the different types of hazards, because OSHA recognizes five categories of hazards. We can't tell them every hazard there is, but it fits into a chemical hazard, a physical hazard, a psychological hazard, you know, biological hazard, things like that, and how it affects you. So when they get back to the workplace, they can, oh, so that right there is a hazard because that hydraulic sure. cylinder got a leak and is shooting oil out all the time. That oil is a potential hazard, either being slippery on the floor or right. getting burned by it. If I walk past it, when it happens to spurt out, you know.
So there's so the connection.
They can recognize and they can make the list of here's what we're looking at okay. every day.
You know, I remember, man, in the latter years of my employment, and technology was starting to come in, and lasers
mm-hmm.
came in.
Yeah.
And so they had the lasers cutting out the part.
Right.
And there was this dust,
mm-hmm.
fine dust,
yeah.
that was so fine you couldn't see it in the air, but it would rest on everything.
Yep.
And I remember working, and I was having this sore throat because we didn't wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having this sore throat because it was new technology that had just come in.
Yep.
And I went to the dentist, and the dentist said, hey, your throat is inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so what can it be? And I remember having trouble swallowing. Well, we were inhaling that fine laser
yep.
dust.
Yep.
And I raised so much cane, I contacted OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to fire me.
Right.
And there were guys who worked with me who said, he's always complaining. My coworkers. Mm-hmm. I'm right. fighting for everybody.
Right.
And they're afraid.
Yep.
And so, make a long story short, force them
mm-hmm.
to fix mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It cost them $120,000. They weren't happy.
Right.
But you sometimes you have to be willing mm-hmm. to take the risk, because there's nothing more important than your health and your life. Not money can't buy right. that.
Well, and potentially your throat issues were a workers' compensation issue, which they would have had to come out of their pocket, which they wouldn't have been happy about.
Right.
So if they can stop the injuries, they can stop the output of profit into workers' comp. Lowers their insurance rates, makes everything better for everybody if we can do it like that.
You know, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com. Or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life three wives later and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom. Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High of 44 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 28. Overcast tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 50. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Yes, it's over, call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend, we knew it had to end someday. This way.
Guess it's over, the kicks are gone. What's the use of trying to hang on?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Jim Schultz. He's recording secretary of Wishkosh, Wisconsin Committee on Occupational Safety and Health. My co-worker, Johnny Watermelon. Let me ask you this, Jim, because we talked about industry, and I think when we focus so much on industry, there are all these other things and offices and and other places that people may not see, you know, that they themselves are exposed to things. What do you say to them? I mean, because maybe you say, well, I'm in an office, is safe. The environment is safe. There's nothing here that can, you know, cause me any discomfort.
Right. Well, I guess if we got to find a bright side of the pandemic that we're still in, has been that people started recognizing that, oh, just because I'm in office, I'm not safe because I'm in a confined space with somebody for 8 hours. And it used to be, well, I heard somebody coughing or sneezing or whatever. And why did they stay home? They're sick. Well, because they couldn't. They didn't have the time off. They weren't able to do that. Right. Now more people are starting to recognize that, well, yeah, I work in an office or I work in a non-production type facility. There are still hazards there. The ink from the printers can be a problem. Or like at the grocery stores, those receipts you get, they got ads printed on the back, but then they print the receipt on the front of it. Those are heat activated, but that ink on there is highly hazardous. And for you or me as the customer, getting one or two receipts a day, it's not a big deal. But that cash register worker that's pulling that out every time, they're getting really exposed to that stuff, but they don't know it because they don't think about it because nobody's told them about it. If you don't know what the hazards are, you don't understand what you're being exposed to. And so I'm also one of Wisconsin's workplace safety and health trainers. And I often start most of my trainings by letting folks know that, look, in life, there's only three places that we go to. And I let them try and figure out what they are and tell me what they are. And they all say, well, church and the store. No. The three places we go to in life are we go home, we go to work, or we go to somebody else's place of work. Therefore, if that workplace is not safe for them to be in, if it's not a healthy environment for them to be in, as a customer, as a client, as a vendor, it's not healthy for me to be there. And so if there are hazards in the office or wherever else, we need to know what they are. And Wisconsin provides training on that on a whole range of topics. And just being able to understand what a hazard is so you know what you're looking for is a big one.
So it becomes a mindset.
It is.
And what should transpire and what people should do when they go to work, no matter where it is, it should be a mindset. Yep. For you, are there any hazards around here? Are there things here that we can do better? well, make things safer in the long run for me and my coworkers.
Absolutely. A lot of folks think, well, I'm volunteering at this organization or whatever. There can still be hazards. Just because you're not getting a paycheck doesn't mean that it's inherently safe. There are so many hazards out there that people just don't understand. They don't recognize until it affects them personally. Either it happens to them or a family member or a friend. Then they go, oh, wow, I never even thought about that.
Is there such a thing as statute of limitations when it comes to those kinds of things?
Yes and no. The way OSHA looks at it is there is a statute of limitations on filing a complaint about an unsafe condition, with the exception of if it's a recurring thing. If it happens every day because that's how the job is set up, then there's not. But if it's something that happened to you today, you've got 30 days to file a complaint about it, or too bad. But if it happens to you today and it happens tomorrow and it happened last week and it's going to happen next month because that's just the way the job is right. designed, then there isn't, because that hazard is still present. But, you know, we also talk about things that sometimes OSHA isn't the best tool to pull out of the toolbox right away. You know, they're a great big club that's wonderful to threaten with, but the fact is they're very understaffed. They're very, very underfunded. They just don't have the capabilities that they need to have. But with Wiscosh and other organizations that can help you, we're part of a national coalition on occupational safety and health, and national COSH. We help workers all across the country.
So you
can get help.
So what's a number that people can reach you guys?
They can reach us, the Wiscosh office, at 414-870-3060. And we don't always have somebody there because we're largely staffed by volunteers. But if you leave a message and tell us who you are and why you're calling and when we can get back in contact with you, and should we phone or email or whatever, we will get back to you.
And what's your email?
They can email at wiscosh@wiscosh.com. And we will respond to them as soon as we can when we get their message.
Well, listen, man, I want to thank you, you guys, for extending an invitation for me to say a few words on Thursday. I'm very much honored to have that opportunity because, you know that people and life is so precious, mm-hmm. and when it's lost while you're working, you know, people say, well, in the military, people lost their lives, and then we do the things that we do for the people who lost their lives fighting for the nation, but people lose their lives going to work to support their families.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
And people aren't even aware that it's taking place.
No. And Wiscosh has always advocated for the military personnel to have safe workplaces as much as possible as well. I mean, right. There's no reason that we should have sent warriors overseas without things like body armor,
yeah.
or armored vehicles that their families had to chip in to send the stuff over to them.
You know, the burn pits, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, all the different things, yep. You know, Vietnam, I forgot what it was called, man, Agent Orange.
Right.
And all those things, yep. right? But anyway, man, I got to let you go.
Okay.
It's good to see you. I'll look forward to having the conversation with you in a couple of days.
See you in a couple of days, Jim.
We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll let you know who we'll be joined by next. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.